of a threat to global security do you consider the Russian President Vladimir Putin?
I think he is the premier and most important threat, more so than ISIS. I think ISIS can do terrible things, but it's the Russians who are trying, who tried to destroy the very fundamental of democracy, and that is to change the outcome of an American election.
Oh my gosh, he did. John McCain. Who needs Chuck Schumer when you have John McCain? That's what I say. My appearance on Fox and Friends is on our website, LauraIngram.com, and also on our Facebook page. Make sure to follow us on Facebook. You'll love it. We'll keep you updated throughout the day about what you need. So let me just get this straight. John McCain says that Russia is a bigger threat today to the United States than what it was in 1980? What planet is he living on? It's worse than North Korea, where the Cabbage Patch president keeps firing off these missiles, including anti-ballistic missiles? Really? North Korea is the single biggest immediate military threat. ISIS is the biggest terrorist threat. We still have the Taliban, resurgent once again in Afghanistan. Unbelievable, but it's true. We still have Al-Qaeda, both in Iraq and in the Arabian Peninsula. We have this. These are all percolating out there. Is Mike Lee now afraid to come on the show? I hope not. He's my old friend. I like Mike. He's a strong conservative and a really good family man. And he's written a really interesting book, so I hope we have him on. But I got to tell you this. The idea that John McCain is out there pushing this Russia narrative as if the people of Pennsylvania voted for Donald Trump because of Vladimir Putin. Think about how twisted that logic is. We just had Pete Hoekstra, former House Intel Committee chairman, on our show say that, well, America has meddled in other countries' elections. I'm sure Russia did want to have some influence in our election. Big surprise. I'm sure that's the case. But guess what? The United States has wanted the same thing and uses our intel operations as a way to promote certain people, certain ideologies. To some extent, we wanted to do that during the Twitter revolution in Iran, but then we kind of fell short on that. So we're kind of messing with other people's elections all the time. I mean, how many of you really think that the United States hasn't been actively trying to change the outcome of certain elections over the last 100 years in our own way? Let's just go back. Let's go back 60 just to keep it simple. Absolutely. My answer is I hope so. We want people who are friendlier to the United States to win elections. Isn't that what countries should want? By the way, there's a competing narrative out today which cracks me up. And I saw this text from a Washington Post writer, Glenn Kessler. And it cut against the narrative that they've been trying to sell, which is that Russia wanted Donald Trump to win the election. That's been the whole narrative. They intervened to hurt Hillary because they wanted to help Trump. Now, lo and behold, this morning, I read this this piece from Glenn Kessler where he says, sources, it's always sources, Russians discussed potentially, quote, derogatory information about Trump and associates during campaign. So which is it? Did they want Trump out? And so they were trying to push derogatory information? Or did they want him in? Because he was going to be some great friend of Russia's. You see, it doesn't matter. This is my whole point. It doesn't matter what they desperately want the Republicans to do. Is they desperately want the Republicans to focus on anything but the economy. 855-40-LAURA. Anything but the economy, anything about America First. They want to focus only on the Russia collusion corruption angle. 855-40-LAURA. My message to Congress, and I think your message to Congress morning, noon, and night, should be get this agenda passed. For John McCain to play the Democrat cynical game about the Russia story is frankly not at all surprising and at the same time sickening. He has a duty, does he not, to this country to see that this economy get back on track. This phony story about how Russia's the big threat to the United States, I will say this, no one is buying it. No one buys the idea that Vladimir Putin's going to invade the United States of America, or that Vladimir Putin's ready to take France, or that Vladimir Putin's ready to march into Germany. No. You know what Germany's doing? They're allowing migrants to march in. They're opening the door to the people who are going to change Germany forever. Joining us now, although he's late, my old friend, Senator Mike Lee from Utah, who's one of the smartest guys, great writer, great thinker. But, you know, I'm making an exception for late guests because usually we just say, forget it. You know, but I know he has a good excuse. I'm just teasing him. Mike Lee's with us. His new book, Written Out of History, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. He's with us now. I mean, Mike, what did you have, like a top secret briefing or something you had to go to? I mean, what was the delay here?
No, I've actually been on the phone for 10 minutes.
What?
I called on the number they gave me. I was just on hold.
So. Oh, my gosh. So it's our fault.
Happy to be on the show.
Is that right?
Well,
okay. Well,
that.
That's our guys
know,
say that's not the
fault.
Case.
I'm
but...
just saying I called the number that was given to me.
All right.
I'm just glad to be on the phone.
Oh,
I'm sure
yeah.
your staff didn't do anything wrong. I'm okay. sure it was my mistake somehow.
See, you've been a husband for long enough to know, Mike. You just, when the women say, just like, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Whatever. It's my fault.
That's exactly. What,
that's that secret exactly. to a happy marriage. It's my fault, honey.
Been well taught by my wife, Sharon.
Exactly. So we'll get to your book in just a minute. But I've been talking about this McCain deal that Russia is the bigger threat to the United States than ISIS, Senator Lee. I mean, the country looks to you and Senator Cruz as kind of the stalwarts for conservatism in the U.S. Senate, along with Tom Cotton. We have some really good people in there. You agree with that, that Russia is the biggest threat? We got this North Korea thing bubbling up, ISIS, everything else.
North Korea scares me to death. ISIS scares me to death for a different set of reasons. Look, Russia is always a country that we're going to keep an eye out for. I don't think I would ever go as far as to say it's the single biggest threat we face. So I don't know whether John McCain meant to say that to the exclusion of these other threats we face, but if that's what he meant, I couldn't disagree more.
The concern, and a lot of my listeners, Ron, I wanted to ask you questions, but the concern that I think just the grassroots Republicans, really good conservative people, a lot of the Tea Party folks who got you helped get you elected, is that Congress is not pushing forward the agenda that the president ran on, the agenda that a lot of you agree on. I mean, at least in broad strokes on tax reform and Obamacare repeal and replace. And every time I read a piece about how Trump's agenda is stalled in a majority Republican Congress, I throw up your hands. So why the big dragathon on the Hill? What's going on?
Look, our system, as you know, was set up to be inefficient. Sometimes those inefficiencies can be really frustrating. They can be especially frustrating when there are people who have campaigned for the last 7 years by saying, let's repeal Obamacare. Elect us. Let us get the majority first in the House, then in the Senate. Then let us take control of the White House. And all of a sudden, we have an opportunity to repeal Obamacare. We've got to actually do it. That's been one of my biggest frustrations, is that there are some Republicans who haven't campaigned on this for 7 years.
So why aren't they doing it? Are they just trying to stop Trump? I mean, do they want to put a – I know you weren't a big fan of Trump, but you ultimately said people have to, you know, turn out for the Republican candidate. But, I mean, we don't get this – I mean, you're kind of – you're retiring, right, next year? Is that right? You're not seeking another term? Is that right?
Well, I was just reelected. So my term doesn't expire until 2023.
Oh, okay. Why am I thinking you were retiring?
What I'm pushing for is I'm not sure. I'm only – 45 years old, but I reached the level of a 46-year-old. Maybe that had something to do with it.
Okay.
it's my wisdom that threw you off, perhaps. But the point is, we have to do what we actually said we would do. And Donald Trump was very consistent in saying that Obamacare is bad for the American people. They deserve better. We've got to get rid of it. We have to actually do that now. As to what people's motives are for doing this, I think some of it relates, Laura, to the fact that people can't quite grasp. There are some people who can't quite get over the fact that the federal government was never intended to do all of this.
Yeah.
It was never set up in the first place to handle every aspect of human existence. It especially wasn't set up to manage one-sixth of our nation's economy, which is our healthcare system.
Well, and the tax reform, before we get to the Forgotten Founders, which, by the way, is our featured selection on lauraingram.com and our Facebook page. It's already up there. So on tax reform, I mean, this is the thing we absolutely have to get pushed through. Couldn't you guys change the rules? Could you change the rules of the Senate to do a 51 vote on that? I mean, is that how desperate of a situation we're in now?
We can pass tax reform with the 51 vote margin.
Oh, you can.
Exactly,
okay.
Exactly what we intend to do. Yeah, we can do that through the budget reconciliation process.
Mm-hmm.
Conventional wisdom has been that we will do that in sequence. We'll use the first round of reconciliation this year to pass Obamacare repeal, the second round for tax reform. In theory, we could lump them all into one bill if we wanted to. It doesn't look like that's the path we're going to take, but we do intend to get to both of them, and I think we will.
Well, Boehner says it's not going to happen. John Boehner gave the interview last week. He said, not going to happen. He was laughing. He said Trump's a disaster and basically said none of this stuff's going to happen.
Well, look, with all due respect to the former speaker, he's not the speaker anymore. I don't know what he's basing that on, and I don't know what gives him clairvoyant powers. I couldn't disagree more if what he's saying is that we're not going to do either one of these things, and he can be certain of that right now. The only way that's true is if we all throw our hands up in the air and say it can't be done, and I don't appreciate him saying that. We're not going to do either one of them, because that, to me, suggests, makes me wonder whether he wants that to be the case. I hope that isn't true. But we can't let people start to think that we don't want to do that. That's the first step toward not doing it at all. We have to do both of those things. If we don't, we're in a pearl world of hurt.
No, it's a disaster. The Forgotten Founders, at a time where American history is being ripped apart physically torn down, as we see statues coming down and protests against I'm sure Thomas Jefferson will be protested against soon, but the New Orleans statues, Jefferson Davis, all these other. What about the Forgotten Founders? Where would they think of how far we've come and what we've grown into being as a federal government?
Well, that's exactly why I wrote this book, because I don't want people to forget the story of our Forgotten Founders. That's why I wrote Written Out of History, to tell the story of some of our lesser known founders. You know, we've been told through our progressive education system that all the founders were white slave-owning males. And while many of them were, many of them didn't fit that mold. I tell the story of Mun Bett, an African black slave in Massachusetts who won her freedom after reading the Massachusetts Constitution written by John Adams. I tell the story of Mercy Otis Warren, an early revolutionary and patriot who feared big government, expressed concerns about the federal government created by the Constitution, and almost alienated her friendship with John Adams as a result. So this is a great book.
That's
it's
fun.
A great graduation gift. It's a fun book, and it helps restore people with the founding era sentiment that we shouldn't trust big government all that much.
And Senator Lee, I kept saying the subtitle. Excuse me. I love the subtitle because, I mean, I think actually that sells. That sells the book, so forgive me. Of course, it's called Written Out of History. I have it in front of me. So, but sorry about that. But it Written Out of History, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. And what age would be good to start this book? Could you read it in high school? Is it too much in junior high? When could you start reading this? What age?
You certainly could read it in high school, even younger, but certainly by high school. So it's a great a gift for high school students, college students, or students of any age, people who just want to learn more about our country's history, want to learn more about what made our country great in the first place. And it connects with, in many ways, the same audience that resonated with Hamilton when it first came out. People didn't know much about Alexander Hamilton, and now everyone in America can talk about it. Shoot, I run into high school kids in rural Utah who can sing every line from the Broadway musical Hamilton. This connected for a reason. The American people intuitively understand that generation had something special, and this book reconnects them with many of their forgotten stories that have been written out of history by people who want to spread the message of the progressive gospel.
No, it's awesome. What a great idea. What a great idea this book is. Senator Lee, the Robert E. Lee statue is still in the Capitol and the rotunda. Should that be removed, given all the outcry?
Look, it's a part of history. He was an historical figure. So, look, if people at a city level want to remove a statue, I suppose that's their business. But if you're going to do that, don't forget about the stories. Don't forget the stories. You got to take added steps to remember people who have forged history, who have formed it. Otherwise, we'll be doomed to repeat the same mistakes that others have experienced.
Go read the incredible comments about Robert E. Lee by FDR, who gave one of the most incredibly stirring accounts of Robert E. Lee's life. Senator Mike Lee, thank you so much. Sorry about the confusion of the phones. Congratulations on the book. We really, it's awesome. Encouraging our young people and all adults to understand history. The book, Written Out of History, by Senator Mike Lee. Thanks, Mike.
The Laura Ingraham Show.